City, and we'll talk about some of the bills that he has proffered, we'll find out as more of these bills are coming out, more of them will be passed. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday edition on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
This is Lee Habib, and I get asked all the time why we do all of those segments on Our American Stories about people who found the American dream. And we do it because it's true. This country has great stories to tell, and we tell them on this station every night, because one thing I've learned is this: there's an American story in all of us. Join me for Our American Stories right here.
Heard nightly, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, only on AM 670.
Finley Acura in the Valley Auto Mall has a huge inventory of 2020, 2021, and the all-new redesigned 22 MDX. That means the 20 and 21s must go. Our loss, your gain. Save thousands on any lease or purchase with great rates starting as low as 0.9% on selected models. So don't delay. Come down to Finley Acura in the Auto Mall and visit us at FinleyAcura.com. Finley Acura, the new definition in luxury.
Again, stop in today at Finley Acura in the Valley Auto Mall.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The FBI has released new videos investigators say show a suspect planting two pipe bombs the night before the Capitol riot.
The FBI says the devices were planted between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m. the night of January 5th, and apparently meant as a distraction before a crowd stormed the Capitol building the next day. The bombs were placed outside the Republican and Democratic national committees, both just blocks from the Capitol. The latest video shows a suspect walking on a sidewalk near the Capitol, carrying the backpack the FBI says contained the bombs. The Bureau is offering a $100,000 reward for information leading to the identification of the suspect. Bob Agner reporting.
Arkansas has a new law banning nearly all abortions in the state.
With the signature of Governor Asa Hutchinson, the measure only allows abortions to save the life of the mother. The bill does not include exceptions for rape or incest. Hutchinson had already signed several major abortion restrictions into law since coming into office. He expressed reservation about this latest ban. Arkansas is one of 14 states where legislators have proposed outright abortion bans this year.
Correspondent George Bonzani. After several days of significant losses, the NASDAQ Composite Index rose 464 points today, sending all major indexes up. Market analyst Ed Moya says pullback in bond yields contributed to the rally in beaten down technology companies.
There's an optimism that eventually this move in skyrocketing treasury yields is going to start to slow down. The Fed is most likely to act if there is some market disruption. So investors just saw that this is a perfect opportunity to start to pile back into tech stocks.
The tech-heavy index was on track for its best day in nearly a year, though it remains nearly 7% below its all-time high set February 12th. The Dow was up by 30 points. The S&P 500 advanced 54. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A heart attack? He was 47. What about Janice and the kids? Do they have life insurance?
No.
Call SelectQuote now and get the insurance your family needs at a price you can afford.
In minutes, SelectQuote found John, 45, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $29 a month. And his wife, Ann, 43, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $21 a month.
At SelectQuote, we comparison shop some of the most trusted insurance companies in America to find you the best rate in minutes. And it's free.
For your free quote, call 1-800-644-1331. That's 1-800-644-1331. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-644-1331.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Our country is in an upheaval that continues to fester. Elected officials from the lowest recesses of our local government to the highest office in the land have played a part in the divisiveness of today's America. And we, Americans, bear the risk. I'm Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance here in Las Vegas. Our government is opening our country's border. Shutdowns have destroyed businesses and jobs, and crime rates are on the rise. Are you prepared? Peters Family Insurance is a conservative, veteran-owned business with two locations in Las Vegas. If you've not taken a look at the risks you face every day, give us a call. Whether it's auto, home, business, or life insurance, we can help. We've been voted Best of Las Vegas for 2 years straight, and we live up to that award. Support local conservative small business owners before liberal elected officials put us all out of business. Call Peters Family Insurance today at 702-870-4000. Again, that's 702-870-4000.
It's 4:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. The University of Nevada, Reno announces it's returning to in-person classes this fall. UNR President Brian Sandoval says he's encouraged by the public health gains the state has made with the COVID-19 and that they are actively planning on being back for the upcoming fall semester. Like other higher education institutions across the state, UNR has been operating with mostly remote classes since the COVID-19 outbreak. Southern Nevada home prices hit another high. Las Vegas Realtors reports the median sales price for previously owned single-family homes reached $355,000 in February. That's up 12.3% from the same time just a year ago. House hunters bought more than 2,700 homes last month. That's up more than 12% from February of 2020. Local experts say the Southern Nevada housing market has been on a hot streak due to the shrinking supply of homes in the market and low mortgage rates. Las Vegas police are seeking the public's help in locating a maroon midsize SUV involved in a fatal hit-and-run accident. The driver sped off after hitting 63-year-old Ronald Smith, who later died, who was crossing near a marked crosswalk but did not have the walk signal on. You can call 702-828-3786.
It's powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Yeah, we're getting heavy volumes in both directions on the 15, mainly in the resort corridor between Tropicana and the Spaghetti Bowl there at US 95. You're averaging about 40 miles per hour. Heavy volumes Interstate 11 westbound at Horizon, 215 north at Robindale. And you'll tap the brakes, 215 west at the airport connector.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are, well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he followed through, the exact opposite. Check it out. COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. It's just, you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one. Time is running out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
We are into week number 6 of the 81st Nevada Legislature. They have not yet passed a lot of bills. That's a good thing when you're in the minority, and that's okay. Joining us, as he does every week, Scott Hammond, the wonderful state senator from District 18, and he joins us. How was your weekend, Senator? Let's see. Did I lose him? Is there a reason why I'm not hearing him? Okay. We'll take that. Okay. Scott, are you there?
I am. I'm still here. Are you hear me now?
I can hear you great now. Okay. How was tell me how the weekend was. The weather down here was beautiful. Did you get home or did you stay up there?
I stayed up here. I was I apologize. First of all, I did not make your program last week. And it was because I was not feeling very well, and every time I was talking, I was coughing, and so I didn't want to get on and ruin that. And so because of that, I decided not to travel. I stayed up here. I took a test last week, and of course it was negative because, believe it or not, people are still getting regular colds and also are impacted by sometimes allergies. And I think that's probably what I had. I get it every time I come up here with a beautiful sagebrush. I love it. But it does play havoc with me. So I apologize. I wasn't on next last week, but I enjoyed a very nice, calm, beautiful weekend other than the wind.
We are into week six of the Nevada legislature, and we are getting to a point where a lot of the bill draft requests, which are like shells, and eventually you put meat on the bones, as I like to say. Are we getting there for you? You've got a number of bills that I know you want to offer. Are you to the point now where you're starting to get some legislative language back?
Very little. I've got about 16 bills, and so far I've gotten six back.
Is that right?
We're behind. Yeah, we're a little bit behind, and I mean there's a lot of pressure on the LCB staff, especially the legal writers. I think the virus has put them behind schedule. There's just a lot of work, and there's a lot of pressure on them to get it done. And we have a deadline coming up on Monday. We have to get all of our bills introduced into the chamber, or else they die. And so that's a pretty big thing. So we'll probably be having a very long day on next Monday. We'll have several floor sessions to get all these bills introduced, and I'm hoping all mine will come out by then.
Well, I'm just curious, if you get to next Monday and there's still a logjam and there's still no legislative language, can they, by unanimous consent or some other method, can they say, well, we'll push it back a week?
Yeah, they can always do that. And the majority party has the ability to do that, and they can push those dates back. They don't like to because then it pushes everything else back, which we're seeing. I mean, we already had an extension once on pre-files, I believe, pre-filed bills, and so they can do it. It just kind of pushes everything back. But like you said, with that kind of move, then you probably will see less legislation actually getting passed, and for some people, that's not a bad thing.
People like me. Tell me what the Collaboration Center is.
Yeah, let me tell you. I got a bill because I got a call from my good friend Linda Taché. Linda Taché is the original founder of Grant a Gift. And when she left that organization, it's not like she left her passion for helping those with autism. And so the Collaboration Center is a very large project of hers where she's gathered a lot of people together. And it's going to be a sort of a one-stop shop, right? So if you have somebody, a child or somebody, a young adult who is a part of the autism spectrum, they'll be able to do everything from research to diagnosis to finding ways to interact to try and overcome some of the difficulties. Just everything in there. There'll be a place for families to gather and learn information and collaborate together. And so it's a great place. Well, they need a little bit of help. I love projects like this. So when she came to me and said, hey, we're raising funds, but it would be really helpful if the state could help out. And I think that's the kind of that's the beautiful collaboration I love to see. It's a public-private partnership where you have very passionate people who know what's going on and their issue and their immediate interest. And then you have the state saying, hey, we need to help out anyway. How about we help out somebody who's getting something done, who knows what they're doing? And so I just introduced a bill saying, hey, if we raise $6 million, can the state match it? And so really for $6 million, the state's going to have a wonderful facility that is going to be staffed with people. The rest will be privatized. Everything will be done with private money. But people, families will be getting services that they don't already have. And that's why I love that kind of collaboration. That's the kind of stuff you want to see, people who have a lot of passion, who know how to stretch the dollar, get things done, and then provide services. So that's one of the bills I have. We did get the language for that one. We're moving right now and getting some sponsors on that bill. It'll be introduced in the next couple of days on the floor, and then people will have a chance to kind of read it.
And is that the type of bill? I mean, we always talk about how partisan it gets in Carson City, but that would seem to have all the earmarks of a bill that everybody could like, that very few people would have any sort of opposition to.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. No, I actually do have a Democratic co-sponsor already. We're going to get a few more, both in the Senate, the Assembly, on both Republican and Senate side. It should be one of those bills that have a lot of support. The question is the money. And right now we're talking about $650 million deficit that we're in, but everybody knows what's coming, and that is that we're talking about a big, huge check coming from the federal government, anywhere between $3 to $4 billion, most likely $4 billion. And so a lot of that money, I'm hoping we don't put into the budget in places like operation or anything that grows the government that will have to continue year after year after year to fund. I don't want to do that. And so with what we have like this, you have an opportunity to, put one-shot money into something, build capacity. If we're talking about infrastructure, building a bridge or anything like that, you just fund it. You don't have to worry about it going forward. This is a beautiful opportunity to do that. And, I hope that we can, put some of that money and put it into services for people who need it.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. You mentioned the money. The latest figure I saw in the RJ today, they're projecting that $4 billion could become $4.5 billion. Do you get a sense of how Democrats, first of all, are they going to replenish the rainy day fund? Because, I think we just wiped it out.
Yeah, well, that's on our list. A lot of my colleagues are going to be meeting tonight. We're going to go through what we would do with that money. We have to kind of come up with a plan again, because I think we have to make sure we don't allow them to put it into operational costs, anything that's going to move forward in perpetuity. And so then, one of these days that money goes away. And when that money goes away, they come back and say, hey, now we're $40 million short in this project, in this program. Well, of course you're $40 million short. You got that when we got all that money from the federal government. You put it in this operation, but with no revenue really coming in year after year after year. And we want to avoid that. We want to avoid having that scenario happen. And so we have to come up with things like you said, programs, capital improvement projects. I mean, this is the time for us to really look at what are the capital improvement needs of the state of Nevada and go forward. $4 billion, I mean, if it turns out to be 4.5, that's even more. I get it, but $4 billion to fix a $650 million hole, that's a sizable amount of money. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's 457% more than we need to actually fill the hole. So, that's just a lot of money.
That's a lot of dough. That really honestly is. Tell me what SB 134 is.
SB 134 is the bill that we heard yesterday, and I think a lot of people. I got more emails on this. The only other bill that I've had more emails on is SJR 8. That's the Equal Rights Amendment. But SB 134 is a bill that would basically take the donor program we have. When you get your driver's license, you can become a donor, right? You can an organ donor, and so you opt into the program. You tell people, I'd like to do this. If for some reason something happens to me, I pass away and they can harvest my organs, I would like somebody to use them. Well, this bill would change it, flip it on its head. Now you are opting out. You're, instead of opting in, you're opting out. They've done this in several other countries, no other states, but they have done it. They've passed it in Nova Scotia and Canada. I didn't particularly like it. I'm a little worried about it. And the emails I got, I know a lot of people were worried about it as well. You know what it's like to go in and get your driver's license or get your permit or any of those signs. Anything you have to do with the DMV, there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of things that are being told to you. You're trying to get things, you're putting your signature on a lot of stuff. The sponsor of the bill is adamant that there will be lots of notification letting you know that if you don't want to be an organ donor, you better sign right here and you won't be one. But I'm a little worried about that. You can call me skeptical as well. I'm a little skeptical that they'll be able to get that information and then have somebody understand it right at that moment. Because if you don't sign that and say, I want to opt out, you're automatically in.
Yeah.
You're a donor. And now you get your driver's license that same day. It's got the little heart on there that says you're a donor. And then, two days, 3 days later, someone says, hey, I didn't know you were an organ donor. And I'm not. I didn't sign that piece of paper, and there you are. You're an organ donor. Now, what do you have to do to get rid of that? You would have to get a new driver's license. Now, who's at whose expense? Probably yours. Thanks to, you know, COVID and all the problems that are associated with it, it may take you several more months to get a new driver's license. But there you are. You're an organ donor. I just don't think that is going to be very helpful. And of course, the end goal of the whole bill was to increase the number of donors. They say that you know, increased significantly in places like Spain. Greece, I think, has it, several other places. I'm like, well, I get that, but again, did it increase because people just want to wear? And now they are. You know, now they're organ donors. So that bill came up yesterday. You know, there's not a lot of bills to talk about because there's very little work going down. But that particular bill seemed to generate a lot of discussion.
I want to ask you about that Equal Rights Amendment, though, and why it is so incredibly bad. And we talked with Melissa Clement from Nevada Right to Life earlier in the program, and she was adamant. And they had a hearing, I guess, at 3:30. Don't know what's happened with it. Tell me why SJR 8 is so wrong for Nevada.
Well, I don't know if I'm the expert to be able to tell you what's wrong with it. 2 years ago when they had it, you look at the language, it looked very benign. It basically said that women were equal, and the language, it was a very small bill at the time. Now, one of the things that myself and several of my colleagues said is, hey, we can vote for this now, but we know that there's a court case pending in places, well, one place, particularly New Mexico, where there was a challenge to it and what the effect of the language had on things like, I think Melissa Clement probably brought this up, men playing in women's sports, and a few other things. And so I said, well, you know, in a couple of years when that court case has been decided, that will help me understand where I will be with SJR 8. I have not finished. There's several phone calls I need to make, but I know that several of my colleagues are looking at it, and what we didn't know then and we know now is that it probably is very problematic. And I know that is a subject that I am getting so many phone calls and emails about, and rightfully so. I think there's a lot of things in the language that are problematic. And I coach girls sports for many years. I understand there's an issue for some of these men who, you know, feel like they are not in the right category, but you know, I support women and I support Title IX, and I think that has been so important to females and female athletes that I don't want to take away what it has done by allowing somebody else to get in there and compete that may have, well, definitely has an advantage physically. And so you know, I told everybody I'll be looking to see what happens with that court case, and I have to do a little bit more research. But if it indeed does what I think it does, then SJR 8 is not a good bill, probably not a good thing for us to have passed.
I know you and I have talked many times over the years about the efforts to essentially downsize the Clark County School District, fifth largest school district in the country, and it clearly struggles because of its enormous, you know, reach all across Southern Nevada. Can you talk a little bit about, is there more talk in this session about breaking up the CCSD?
Not up here, but there should be. I think that if for nothing else, the COVID virus has shown us that the school district is so large and really doesn't have that flexibility, that nimbleness to actually get education into the homes of students when something like this happens. So there's not a lot of talk about it up here, but I know there's a lot of talk about it outside of the walls of our legislative building. Down in Las Vegas, for example, I know there's some wonderful groups who are saying, okay, enough is enough. We've got to do something. And people have come up with some really great ideas. There's one idea right now that if we can get some traction up here, maybe we can get in a bill. But you know, it's going to take Democrats and Republicans to do it. And that basically, I'll give you the nutshell of what I've heard. Instead of having one school board, you have several school boards. You have different regions. You allow them to have their own school board, and then a member of the school of each one of those school boards would then meet to decide on bigger stuff. For example, there would still be one big school board, I believe. This is the way I understand it. That would then talk about transportation, some of the bigger items, the things that economies of scale you would want to keep under one entity, but then have autonomy in those other school boards. And so you have more representation in those school boards and in those areas. So, I mean, that seemed to me like an easy transition. I mean, I don't see that there's much that you'd have to do, but you still have to have legislation, I think, to change that.
Yeah.
And I think it would be wonderful to actually have more representation in certain areas, because you have more involvement. You have more people running for a school board. You have more people who would then be going to the school board to talk to them. I mean, just a lot more. When you have more participation, that's actually a good thing.
Scott, in about 30 seconds, how can people reach out to you, and when's your next Teletown Hall?
The next one, we're trying to set it soon. Not sure when. Maybe by next week. By next Tuesday when I talk to you, we'll probably have a date.
Okay.
As far as reaching out to me, HammondForNevada.com. HammondForNevada.com, and that's F-O-R. But if you put number four in there, you can probably get a hold of me no matter what. But that's my website, and then you can get a hold of me that way.
Scott, good to see you. Feeling better, my friend. You have a good work week there in Carson City, and we'll talk again next week.
Looking forward to hearing from you again next week. You take care.
Thank you, Scott. Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18, right here. Oh, I love this. I love Tuesdays because we're going to get the chance to talk a little bit later on to Megan Barth from ReaganBabe.com right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
Listen to the radio again on the weekends. On Saturday, you can enjoy Handle on the Law, Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, Real Estate Today, and Las Vegas Rocks with Vegas insider Ron Garrett. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. A recent Bloomberg survey of economists shows home prices have jumped at the fastest pace since 2014. Well, what does that mean for retirees or pre-retirees with a mortgage? For answers, we turn to America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuda. Coach, what are your thoughts?
Well, Steve, we're in a very low interest rate environment, which is a very good thing if you have an interest payment on a house, which is called a mortgage. Some people have more than one. So here's what we do. First of all, let's consolidate. If you have more than one mortgage, let's consolidate those now and get that low rate locked in forever with the bank, or 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever kind of mortgage you have. Then that puts you in more control. So now you know what your expenses are going to be on your home, which is your most valuable asset if you're living there. Now, we talk about when people are retired and they have a mortgage payment. A lot of people say, well, I can't retire until I get rid of this mortgage payment. Well, that's not true, Steve. As a matter of fact, if you actually have to dig into your retirement savings to pay off your mortgage and then you retire, well, God, you're sitting in a house that's paid for, but you might not have enough money to pay the taxes on the house or the upkeep on the house. So don't ever reach into money you're going to need to pay your house off, especially in these days with interest rates at all-time lows. Let's lock the banks into accepting a very small amount for a very long time, and then let's make sure we have that money put aside for your monthly payments for the mortgage. And you still own the house, Steve. The house doesn't go up in value just because you pay it off. It doesn't go down in value if you owe money on it. So let's make sure we get a right plan put together. I cover this in my total retirement plan, which is 22 different steps, Steve. The next 10 people call will get this at no cost or obligation. It's a $1,000 value. I also have a 3-book set.
That sounds fantastic. The next 20 callers right now, 888-702-6932. That's 888-702-6932. Or you can just text Vegas, V-E-G-A-S, Vegas to 21000. Text Vegas to 21000. Investment.